Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Capitec Results Conference Call hosted by Macquarie. All participants will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity to ask questions later during the conference. If you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero. Please note that this call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Sven Thordsen. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, evening, everybody. Thanks for dialing in. We have Gerrie and André with us this evening to chat about the interim 2018 results. From our side, a very solid set of results, very stable ratios. One cannot forget that this is a very tough operating environment. So, in that light, a stellar set of numbers. Hopefully, you do have the presentation in front of you. It should have been emailed. If not, you can retrieve it off the website under the Investor Relations section. So, I'm going to hand over now to Gerrie and André, and they can run us through the presentation.
Thanks, Sven. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to start off on slide number four, where we start with the key indicators. If I look at our results, I think everyone has read through it. Our earnings per share is up 17%. I think the main drivers of that was exceptionally good growth on our client numbers, up to 9.2 million. Very strong growth on the transactional income side, up 29%. And then even on the credit side, given the economy in South Africa, we had a 10% growth on the credit side. So overall, I think we're quite pleased with the results. If I look at the return on equity, we're on 26%. We've always said we're targeting 25%, so it's in line with our expectations. We've mentioned in the pack that we have reduced prices. The reduction in prices is still in line with the 25%, but I think I've said it before, we'll probably over time look at reducing that ROE maybe to a 22%-23%. And the reason for that is we're testing in the unsecured lending, we're testing about 10% of our book. We're testing to see what happens if we're operating at lower ROEs, what is the impact in the market at lower prices. And it's in line with our strategy to say, how can we actually attack the secured market with unsecured lending? If I move to page five, cost to income, slightly up, but in line with our expectations. We always said 35%. The reason it's higher is basically three main reasons. The first one is the share price. The share price went up from around about 550 to 900. That had about a 80 million rand impact in our operating expenses. Then we also had a very strong launch of our Bank Better, Live Better campaign, which we didn't have in the previous year. And then lastly, we still continue appointing IT people, especially on the digital side, big data, machine learning, etc., which is expensive heads. So we're quite happy with the 36. You can see in August 15, it was also 36. So we don't see it as any problems. It's in line with our expectations. If I move to slide number five or six, is that our transaction fee income is now covering 76% of our operating expenses, a very nice 4% increase. So even given that our OpEx is slightly higher, grew with 20%, our transactional income grew with 29%. So we're quite pleased with it. I think what is also, if you look at self-help, the tremendous growth we had on the self-help, one would have expected that number to be lower. But if you look at the volume of clients we've attracted, as well as the quality of clients we've attracted, we've definitely seen more transactions taking place, and that's where we got the 29% growth. On the next slide, slide number seven, you can see our transactional income is now 40% of our income. So we always were solidly dependent on the credit side. You can see the transactional income is now contributing a big portion of our income. And as you all know, it's annuity income, so it's a very positive aspect. I'm going to move over to the operating environment. If I look at the operating environment in South Africa, that's slide number nine. I said it a couple of times in the media yesterday. I believe South Africa is in a more stable situation than what we were last year, but we're definitely not in a healthy situation. I think Why I'm saying if you look at stable, inflation is definitely coming down. Food is coming down big time from about 16% last year now to 6.8%. Total inflation now is around about 4.6-4.8%. Interest rates, the SARP has reduced interest rates in July. We expected that they would have done it in September. They didn't do it, but we expect November that they will probably do it again. So interest rates is coming down. And then if you look at the whole exchange rate, that is quite stable at around about, let's say, 13.30, 13.40. Last year it was everywhere between 13 and 17. So I think it's a better environment, more stable environment. But South Africa, economy-wise, is not healthy. We all know that the ANC presidential elections are taking place in December, and it's going to be interesting to see who is the president elected, and that will have an impact. My view is, or our view is, that the new person that will be appointed need to bring in new leaders, and that will probably take 2 or 3 years to stabilize. So we still see a 2-3 years of very little growth, a GDP growth of 1 or 2%. Max, so that's the operating environment that we're operating. If I look at the next slide, slide number 10, we've shown retrenchments. You can see retrenchments is definitely lower than last year, but still at high levels. There's talks of retrenchments in especially gold sector. Platinum, the feedback we're getting from our teams is platinum is for helio right, and then where iron ore was big retrenchments, they're using more contract workers now. But the retrenchments are still taking place in the manufacturing environment. So retrenchments better, but still at high levels. I think if you go to the next slide, slide number 11, and that is probably, I'll touch it now on our number of people in South Africa, is the unemployment rate at 27% or 28%. We're still sitting with the youth that is 55, 56% unemployed. So we're still sitting with a massive unemployment rate in South Africa. I think what is positive is the fact that employment overall, formal employment, has actually stabilized. I saw the latest figure just came out now, and it's still around about 11 million people that got jobs. So that hasn't deteriorated remarkably. The interesting one is the informal sector. I was quite surprised, the 2.5 to 2.7, I would expect that to be higher. We've asked and worked with MasterCard on a study on the informal market. We believe the informal market in South Africa is much stronger. They estimate the informal market in the region of between 70 to 100 billion rand. So that's a market that we believe we should look at and try and see how you can get those people away from cash. But it's important to look at the employment figure in South Africa. So employment stable, but unemployment a big headache. If we move to slide number 12, that is looking at our banking clients. So what we're looking at is 1.9 million clients that banked with us a year ago, and see what the inflows is of those particular people, to understand what is happening with their salaries, what is happening with their overtime, what's happening with their bonuses. We did a comparison with September 16. You can see August 16 is a bit lower. We don't understand why August was particularly that low, because you can clearly see from September on it's fairly stable. Then it goes up with your bonuses in December, and then a low in January, and then slightly coming up. I think the positive point is if you look at your lower income levels, that's gone up with 11 and 16%, and it's in line with figures that I've just seen that's just been released, with salaries growing with about 6, 7%. So we're seeing the lower incomes improvement coming through, mainly due to overtime and bonuses, but it's still at same levels or lower than in 2015. So I think that's important to note, is that it has recovered, but it's still lower than what it was in 2015. If we move on, slide number 13, that's the traditional slide that we show always to say what is the cash availability of our clients. We took 630,000 clients and compared them last year with this year to the same clients to see what the cash situation is. And you can clearly see in the private sector where there's more than 40% cash available. So we look at the inflows and then all the debit orders and fixed commitments that's going off We check that and say how many of that is 40% cash free flow. And you can clearly see that drop from 77% to 65%. And then no inflows. That's where the person has actually lost his job and not working anymore. That's up from 8% to 22%. So you can see the private sector is taking strain. What we've definitely seen is predominantly the smaller companies where the strain is, what we call small and tiny companies. We've pulled back big time on these small and tiny companies. These are typically companies that is employing anything from 3-4 people up to 20 people. They've taken the knock given the economic situation in South Africa. If you look at government, I think that's fairly stable. There's a no inflow of 6%. I've seen in the figures that was just released now is that there's year on year there's about 22,000 people that lost or jobs that's been lost in the government sector. So it ties up with what we're seeing here. So I think private sector a problem. But if you move to the next slide, is on slide 14, we look at our total book. So it's the whole Capitec book, and we're comparing 1 year with another year, August last year with this year. And there you can see, given all the measurements that we've actually put in place, especially very strict on affordability, our people that's got more than 40% cash available has grown from 75 to 80. So there's an improvement in our book, and that's due to our credit policies. But if you go to the bottom, you'll see that the people that's got less than 5,000 Rand, there's only 7% of the people that's got more than 40% cash available. So you can definitely see people with the lower income levels are taking strain, because if you're sitting with only 7% of the people with a 40% cash availability, if there's anything happening with them, they're going to be under stress. And that's why we've also deliberately pulled back quite big on people earning less than 5,000 Rand. We've cut ourselves now in July with what we call our adjustments we've made on our credit policy with plus minus about 34-35%. So a big cutback on the lower incomes. And then you can see people above 15,000, they've got about a 40% cash availability up from 33%. So I think overall, if you look at the Capitec book, on cash availability, we're definitely in a better situation than when we was a year ago. If we look, move to the next page, on page 15, slide 15, is what you've seen in the write-offs, an increase of plus minus about 600 million. We've suddenly seen from April this year a tremendous increase in applications for debt review, where it was normally around about 150 million, it's gone up to 250 million. All other banks have reported similar trends. And what we've definitely seen is, because what we've done is we phoned about 100 clients to understand what is happening here. We're definitely picking up a strong trend that they're marketing debt review to the clients, which they're not supposed to do. A client must be under stress and he must voluntarily go, but this they're marketing with campaigns. The client thinks he's consolidating his debt, so he thinks it's a consolidation product. He doesn't realize that he's actually picking up legal fees, and the legal fees on average is about 10,000 Rand. And he's also not understanding that his credit record has been tarnished. Because the moment you go under debt review, we pull back and we won't borrow to yourself, at least till he's paid back and waited another year. So the client is in a complete false impression. So it's a situation that we need to manage. We're working with the regulators as well as campaigns to our clients, educating our clients, educating our consultants to get the right message across. What is also concerning for us is when the client pays back, he first pays the legal fees of the debt counselor and then he starts paying us. So there's no incentive for the debt counselor actually to keep on chasing that particular client. And that is if you go and look at our write-offs, because we write off our debt relief immediately, 100%. And then when we recover, we bring that in under recoveries. On average, in the past, it used to be around about 22-23% that we're recovering. What we are seeing is that 67% of our clients that are going into debt review has got more than 40% cash available. So it's clearly showing to you that the client is not under financial stress. He's using this as a short-term way of getting out of his credit situation. We're picking also up that a big portion, 70% of the clients, that if he takes credit within the first 12 months, he goes to debt review. So, it's a trend that we need to, that suddenly popped up in April. It's a trend that we will manage and see how we can work with the regulators to get to a better situation. I must emphasize, we're not against debt review, but we believe debt review must be used when the client is really in trouble. The next slide is, I get that question always, what differentiate ourselves? I think that's a very short summary of what differentiate ourselves. It goes all about simplicity, it goes about transparency, it goes about accessibility, it goes about affordability, and then the most important probably is that personal service. All of those components together is actually putting the client in control, so the client really understands what is happening in his financial world. All of these different words has got different strategies behind them, and it's something we live, eat, and drink. If we move to the next slide, I think it's a summary highlights of what we believe is key takeouts of our 6 months results. You can see that we have reduced the prices under the unsecured for our top-end clients when you go short-term to 12.9%. On average, prime is around about 10%. Normally, people get about prime plus one or prime plus two. So we're bringing unsecured much closer to secured and making it more attractive. So that is a very big positive for ourselves. If a person uses the app, the data is for free, so that doesn't cost the client anything. We saved the client 165 million rand in data charges. Then 2 billion was paid back to the clients, given the fact that we pay interest rates of 5.1%. So that to us is a very big plus. 95% of our clients only waited longer than 15 minutes. 95% was before 15 minutes. Only 5% of our clients waited longer than 15 minutes. I don't think there's a lot of retail outlets that really can say that and measure that. I will elaborate on that further. That figure was, that 5% was 28% 2 years back, and the big result was the additional branches that we've opened up, as well as self-help, enabling our consultants to sell better. And then if you look at the people working for ourselves, 13,500 people working for ourselves, of which 82% is under the age of 35, so they were, that's very positive. And then our credit card, very close to 200,000 clients, a book of 1.3 billion. So we're quite pleased with the credit card, how that is developed. If I move to slide 18, what we're trying to do is to answer the question, is the 9.2 million clients, where can it go? I get that question quite a lot. We ourselves don't know where it can go. Can it go to 12? Can it go to 13? Can it go to 14? So I'm trying to get to that answer, just some perspective. That is Stats SA breakdown of the age groups in South Africa. So the 55 million people in South Africa, how's that broken down? I think what is quite scary is to look at the 17 million that's below the age of 14. A big driver of that is social grants that's been granted, because if you've got a child, you get a social grant. If you haven't got income, there's 17 million people on social grants in South Africa. But the interesting one is if you look between the age of 20 and 54, we've got a market share of about 28%. And if you take that market share up to 35%, which I believe is attainable, you can increase our number of clients to about another 2 million, to 2.5 million. So that will take you to about 12 million clients. And then the interesting part is that people younger than 19, 18, what portion can we increase our market share there? Because we know that if you can get a person when he's young, he joins the bank, then he stays with the bank. So we believe there's still opportunity. So that gives you a feeling. We haven't seen a slowdown in the 100,000 plus new clients that we're acquiring every month. Remember, it's 106 on a net basis. It's about 130 on a gross. If I look at September, I looked at the figures this morning again, and we should be close to 135,000 for September. So we haven't seen any slowdown in those numbers. On the next page, that is 19, all we're doing is, because we haven't got the AMPS data anymore, AMPS has come up with an update, but all they've done is just extending the trend, so I don't think it's a true reflection. On that, it's shown that we number two on banking clients. We've used Stats SA's June figures compared to our 4.1 million banking clients. That's clients that's banking with ourselves. And that gives us now a 25% market share. And you can see the growth over the years, how that market share is growing. It's growing plus minus about 3%. So probably the focus would be a very strong focus to see how we can drive that 4.1 million clients. I've been visiting branches in the last 2-3 weeks, and I've seen massive opportunities in those particular areas. So that will be a big focus area, to increase our number of banking clients. If you look at our clients, we've got about 9.2 million clients. 4.1 is banking. 1.4 million is credit clients. Of that 1.4 million credit clients, about 80% is banking with ourselves. And then you're sitting with 1.3 million clients that has got fixed term savings with ourselves. So that just gives you a breakdown of our client base. If you look at the next slide, slide 20, our quality banking clients grew with 21%. That's clients that has got a constant inflow. That's clients that is swiping their cards and has got the banking app. That's now 2.6 million clients that we say is good quality clients. We've seen a big increase in people earning or inflows into the bank account on 10,000 Rand and more. February, we had about 600,000. We're close now to 1.2 million clients that has got inflows more than 10,000 Rand. So we definitely see the middle and higher income clients actually joining Capitec. So that is, to us, is very positive. The app numbers are still increasing with plus minus about 80,000 per month. We've got 2 million people that's been registered on the app, and then what is actively using the app is about 1.2 million clients, and that's growing with between 60 and 80,000 per month. So the app usage, you've all seen that we won the award for the best app. It's also the app that is under the top 10 apps that's been downloaded on Google, so very strong acceptance on the app. So overall, volumes are increasing due to client numbers as well as quality. And I think if you look at page 21 or slide 21, you can see the growth. You can clearly see what's happened with the cell phone. That's the USSD online and app, a growth of 39%. The DNR is our ATMs where you can deposit money and you can withdraw money. Tremendously strong growth in those particular areas. And then our self-service terminals, the self-service terminals that we put in branch, where a person can help himself. And you see that strong volumes. And you've seen now what has happened in the branch volumes for the first time. It's coming down. For us, that's quite positive. Like I said, 95% of our clients are served within 15 minutes. Our average time of servicing a client is 1 minute 46. So on average, if a client comes in within 1 minute and 46, he's been served. And when he's seated in front of a consultant, it costs 10 rand per minute. The point that I would like to illustrate is the fact on how do we measure everything and understand what is happening in our branches to make certain that we can optimize our branches. The effect of the transactional growth is coming through on slide 22, where we can see we've only opened up 15 branches. In the past, we've opened up quite a lot of branches to take away the capacity constraints we had. Where our focus is now, you can see on the new look, We're increasing that quite a lot, and that is bringing the brand together. We've still got 286 branches that is on the old look, and there's a big difference between our old look and new look, which we believe is not good for the brand. So there's a big focus for us in the next 18 to 24 months to actually convert those 286 branches. When we convert a branch, we actually see an uptake of about 10% in client numbers and client activities, acceptance of a better environment. So we're quite pleased, or that's a big focus for ourselves, to make certain that we upgrade our branches. I still believe we can get to 1,000 branches, but it will be much slower than we anticipated because self-help surpassed all our expectations. ATMs, just over 4,300 ATMs. The biggest focus there will be further rolling out DNRs because that takes pressure away from our cashiers because the client can then deposit money and he can withdraw money. If I move over, and I'm going to move to slide 24, it's on the savings side. You've all seen our capital adequacy is still at 34-35%. We've seen very strong growth on our retail core, up to 33 billion. And if you look at the retail fixed, that blue line, you can see how it became steeper, up to 21 billion. And that's, I think, a reflection on the brand acceptance and higher income, older people that is, has convinced that they can actually deposit their money with ourselves. So they've got trust in the brand. And the result of that is the wholesale funding is actually starting to come down. We're still staying in the market. We raised about 500 million in May. It was 2.5 times oversubscribed. So we're still in the wholesale market, but our retail fixed is really growing very strongly. So, if I move over to credit, that's probably where a lot of action is taking place. The red line is the unsecured credit market. That is what has been advanced per quarter in South Africa. So you can see it's fairly stable, around about 22, 23 billion per quarter. Unsecured, and you can see our market share is around about 26-27%. We would like to get it up as quickly as possible to 30%, so that will be a focus for ourselves. Interesting, if you look at the unsecured market in South Africa, the size of that, or the book of that, is 165 billion. If I look at credit facilities, that market or that book is 230 billion. And it's one of those interesting things is that everyone sees unsecured as the baddie and credit facilities are the goodie. But credit facilities of that 230 billion, 100 billion is, or 105 billion is credit card. And credit card is for me pure consumption lending because what do you do with a credit card? It either goes food, clothes and liquor. So it's just an interesting perspective. And if you look at the 105 billion on credit cards, you can see our 1.3 billion is only a 1.2% market share. So there's still a lot of opportunities for us on the credit card, but there's also a lot of opportunities in the credit facilities. That's what the so-called store cards and then also overdrafts, which making up that difference. If we look at the next slide, slide 26, that's the credit market per product ranges. Unfortunately, this is the information on the first quarter of this year. I would love to see the information as it's going to be in the third quarter. If you look at what we've done, August 17 versus August 16 on the short-term market, 1 to 12, we've pulled back from 2 billion to capital advance to 1.2 billion. So we've cut back with 800 million, and that must be reflected here. So you can see what we've done. We've pulled out of the high-risk, shorter-term market. I think there's a lot of other players that's done exactly the same. And then on the 60-plus market, that's where the growth is coming in, and that's where you're seeing that's increased from 900 million to 1.8 billion. We've also seen from our side there's a strong increase in those particular areas. This links onto the next slide, which shows you per in salary band. Now again, you're sitting with the first quarter information. Well, like I said previously, we've pulled back a lot in the below 5,000. We've pulled back about 35%. You won't see that yet. Remember, our pullback was from July. So I think you're clearly going to see what's happening here is on the high-risk clients and client earning less than 5,000, you're going to see a pullback, and then on your higher income, you'll see opening up in the credit market. If I move to the next slide, 28, there's 2 points that I want to raise. If I look at the first one is debt relief, there was quite a lot of emotional hype in the parliament in the beginning of the year that South African people are over indebted and there must be debt relief programs. You can recall 2 years back that took people that was over indebted and scrapped the information from the bureaus. We said to them they will all be back and they were all back. So now they're coming with a new debt relief program. Till about 3 weeks ago, we were very concerned about their approach and the way they were going about it. The latest information that we get, it's much more sensible and it's more stomachable. The plan is that the draft regulations will come out mid-October. There's still market research that needs to be done that will give us time to the industry players to give feedback to January, February, and then probably the regulations will come in June, July. So where we were concerned 3-4 weeks ago, it looks like more sensible, but I think it's just important that you need to know about it. Credit life insurance, that's the other one that was implemented mid-August. I think what we want to highlight it, the regulations are badly written. The way it's written, you can ask credit life in two ways. You can do it on a reducing balance. The cap is 450 per thousand. You can do it either on reducing balance. So as the client is repaying and his balance is reducing, he's get cover on that reducing balance. That's the way we do it. Or you can do it on the initial capital. The problem that we've got if you do it on the initial capital is if this client is repaying, let's say he takes a 100,000 rand loan, he repaid 80,000, so there's 20,000 outstanding, and something happens to that client, he's retrenched or deceased, he's not getting the 100,000 rand benefit, he's only getting the 20,000 rand benefit. So the people are profiteering on that gap between as the balance is reducing versus the initial capital. So that gives you the ability to take on extra risk. So we will be lobbying with regulators to change that. When we spoke to them beforehand, they were fully aware of it and said they would like to get the regulations in for a six-month period and then see what changes need to make. Unfortunately, we know government's wheels turn very slowly, so one will have to see what happens out of that. If I move to slide 29, we've mentioned that we've gone to the market in July with a new approach on the credit side. We've reduced our interest rates on average with 1.5% to bring in a better credit offer in the market. Our credit offer is spans from 1 to 84 months, so you can have a 23, 25, 26, 27-month loan. The competitors works in 12-month buckets, but what we're doing is that the client can actually choose what is the best term and what's the best price given his financial needs. And what we're seeing is our term is reducing with plus minus about 6 months. We believe that's more healthy. So what you should see is lower capital advance, but you should also see lower arrears. And if everything works out, we should be back at the 25% ROE. But I think it's building a much more longer relationship with the client, so we're very positive about it. So it will be interesting to see what happens now in the next 6 to 12 months to see how that performance is going and are we attracting better quality clients coming through. On slide 30, you can see everything. It summarized actually what we've spoken about. We've pulled back on the shorter term loans. You can clearly see on that grey from a high of 16% to 9%, and that dark blue from 16% to 7%. That's all your short-term products. And then credit cards, you can see the impact of that up to 12%. And then the longer-term loans run about 30%. So that gives you an indication of how the book is, the composition of the book. So it's definitely moving to a better quality client. If I move on, slide 31, credit applications, where in the past, if 100 clients came in last year, we would have approved and the taken up rate would have been 41 clients. That's dropped to 27. It was in February at 32. So you can see the effect that only 27 out of 100 clients we would say yes to, and the client will take up the offer. The question that we're asking on the credit committee, are we not too strict? Is that the right level? And that's what we will evaluate and focus on. So that is part of what we're doing weekly and monthly to evaluate and see where's there's opportunities and where's there's risk, how should we should actually pull back. If I move to slide 32, I think that's the summary. You've seen all the figures, but in a natural improvement in our arrears figures from a high of 6.3 to 5.4. On the rescheduling in arrears, reduction of 300 million. Clients that is not in arrears that we've rescheduled, a reduction of 600 million, 500 million. So overall, I think a much better performance on the credit side. So we're quite pleased with that, and you can see on our coverage ratios right through, we've slightly increased our coverage ratios on the provisioning side. We believe the right provisioning number to look at, or the right coverage ratio to look at, is the figure between the 120 and the 152, because in that 120 is all the clients that is fully up to date but that has rescheduled. We believe it's very conservative to fully provide for those clients as well. But you can see, we haven't, from the provisioning side, we're still very well provided. On the credit card, I think I've mentioned it on 33. We said when we launch the credit card, we will wait and see. We'll learn the credit card. We will be conservative. We received a lot of criticism on the 50 Rand that we're too high. We said we will evaluate it. We've gone through that. Our performance is better than expectations. That's why we've reduced the pricing to 35. That is on existing clients as well as new clients. That's also to create that opportunity to attract better quality clients. We've looked at a lot of price comparisons in the market. We believe we are now one of the lowest in the market at 35 Rand. There is people that is at 25 Rand, but then they've normally got a service fee of another 15 or 20 Rand on top of it. So it's in line with our whole strategy on the credit card, and still, and then on the credit card, I think a very strong plus is the fact if you use the credit card or the debit card overseas, we don't ask you any commission on the interchange, on the exchange rate. So we're seeing a lot of people starting using the cards overseas, which for us is positive. So I think overall we're quite happy with the performance of the credit card. I think to build up a book of 1.3 billion in basically in 12 months, I think it's a good performance. If I move then on to the last slide, and that is what we're focusing on. If we look at Cream, we're spending quite a lot of time with Cream on strategic direction. It's a bit of where Capitec started in 2000. We're having debates about brand. How do you establish a brand? Should you have, on the online lending space, should you have one brand? Should you have three, four, five brands, which they currently got? How do you advertise on that? What is your pricing strategies? They're still at very high interest rates. Should you reduce your interest rates? We're also learning quite a lot of the different countries, the macroeconomic environment. We're learning quite a lot on regulatory environment. One thing for sure is that Africa is far ahead in the 8 countries that they're operating in when it comes to regulatory. Our regulatory environment is much stricter on the credit side. So it's still early days, and we're still happy with the acquisition. If we look at improved service, that will be a continuous focus to make certain that we can service the 9.2 million clients. So we're continuously looking at areas to enhance our service experience. We're launching, for example, now in October, that with machine learning and big data, that 76% of our clients' bank statements, we can predict a 99% accuracy on doing an affordability assessment on that client. So the consultant for 67% of our clients won't do the affordability assessment. The computer will do it. We're picking up that 67% with about 2-4% per month. So just from an efficiency and an accuracy point of view, that will help us quite a lot. We're launching early in the new year, for example, that clients won't sign a contract with a pen, so they won't use a signature. They will use biometrics. So we will then be completely paperless. And just on paper savings, that's about 20 to 30 million on a year basis, which we're taking out. So there's that continuous focus to say, how do we optimize, how do we get that 10 rand per minute down, and how do we make that service experience for our clients unique. People development and leadership will continue a big focus. Our leadership team, the exec team, has spent, for example, 2 weeks ago, 2 days, where we just asked, the simple question is, how do we make Capitec great, and what does great leadership mean? That was quite insightful to challenge ourselves with a simple question like itself. And then you'll probably have seen in the sense in directors' approvals that the board has approved us to build a new head office. We're currently in renting about 11 buildings on Technopark. We've got 1,600 people at head office. Renting small buildings is very inefficient because they're not designed for the way we would like it to be designed. So we've looked at the cost of building versus the cost of renting, and that cost is basically the same. But by putting everyone under one roof, you will have a big improvement in staff morale, you will have a big improvement in teamwork, you will have a big improvement in efficiency, so we believe it's worthwhile doing it. So we'll start building the building in next year. It's about 200-300 meters away from our existing premises, so it's not that we're moving people far away. We're basically just putting people under one roof. So yeah, we're quite happy that we've made the call. I think on the staff productivity, it will have a tremendous impact. On business delivery and throughput, we said that we last year we're moving the whole company to Agile. We're probably about 20 to 30% efficient at that particular area. Everyone is operating at Agile. It takes you about 6 months to get onto it. So the focus is to say, how can we get that 30% efficiency to 70-80%? And we're seeing a steep upward curve on that particular area. And that is creating that ability to get through projects much quicker and faster, and also the ability to work with fintech companies, because fintech companies is part of the future, and you need to create that ability to plug in and plug out with those fintech companies. Quality clients, I think that came through in the whole presentation, so that is still a focus. And then our digital platform, developing that basically consists of a couple of areas. The areas that we're focusing on is on the app. We will probably bring out a new app in the new year, where the big focus will be to personalize, where a person can actually create his own menus and structures. That will be a big focus area. We're spending quite a lot of time on electronic payments to ensure that we can cater for all the different electronic payments that's coming through, Apple Pay, Samsung Pay, etc., etc. We're spending quite a lot of time on onboarding our clients out of branch, so they don't need to go to a branch, so they can onboard anywhere, any place. So the challenge is there is quicker to make certain that we can use facial recognitions and technology like that into it. So we'll probably come out in the new year with that. And then client insights, that's where the big data and machine learning comes in, that we make certain that we understand our clients and really focus on what they're doing. So that is actually the focus areas for ourselves. Myself and our senior team spent 2 weeks ago, a whole week in the branches, debating and challenging ourselves. After the 4 days, I flew back and sat in the airplane and thought about actually what we were doing. And if you really want to summarize it, it came back to understanding the clients, what are the clients' needs, how can we change the client's behavior pattern, how can we move the client away from cash. Secondly, looking at innovations, there were 2-3 innovations that we came up with that we can do things completely different. Thirdly, continuous improvement, challenging our improvement side. And then fourthly, and probably the most important, is on the people side. How do we make certain that the people that work for Capitec fully understand the brand, understand the why, understand where we're going, and make certain that they are brand ambassadors. And that's basically what we do every single day. That's from my side. Thank you very much. I don't know if there's any questions.
I think maybe while everyone dialed in to put the questions, if I can fire off the first one. Maybe if you can just give us an understanding of in the next 3 years, the strategy with regards product. I mean, you've obviously established a massive client base and it continues to grow. But, you know, you're going to need to feed this client base with product. What is your thinking around, you know, how the product evolves over time?
Ben, I've said in the past that we are looking at insurance, because if you look at the needs of the client, is basically credit, saving, transacting, and insurance. So that's definitely on the cards. We are looking at purpose lending very strongly for next year. That is where you use unsecured lending, but you're paying it out to a third party and look at how you can actually structure it or reduce your prices even further. And there's a lot of opportunities in those particular areas. And then you need to look at maybe a little bit longer on is to look at maybe business banking. You need to look at the whole informal market in South Africa. I believe the informal market is big and it's untapped. So that is, in South Africa, I think, the opportunities. And then there's always international. But at this stage, I think it's very strong focus on what we do. It's quite a challenge. It's quite easy to say you get bringing in 100,000 new clients. But to handle those expectations and make certain that you can handle those volumes, it's fairly big. I'll give you an example. In May, we measure our app on screen changes. So how many times a client is actually moving a screen. And our highest day, there was 44 million screen changes that was performed. On the 25th of July, it was a Friday, that number shot to 77 million. So suddenly you're very close to doubling your capacity, and you need to make certain that you can handle those volumes. So there's a big focus on making certain what we do well.
Any thinking around, I mean, joint ventures? Is that something which you would consider with, on the retail side potentially, or would you rather go it alone?
We are working, I'll get that question also a lot, on loyalty. That we don't believe on loyalty programs. We believe on value adds and make it much clearer for the client. So we're working on with quite a lot of retailers on value adds, and I'll use an example because that will be launched quite soon. Is that, for example, if you book a hotel or accommodation on booking.com, and you use your Capitec card, you will get a 5% discount. So what it means is the client understands it, he knows it's simple. If I do this, I get this. With loyalty, Nobody really understands what's happening and what I need to do. So that will be our focus, is to work with retailers on to see how we can create value for our clients.
Okay, great, thanks. Anyone on the line with a question?
If anyone would like to ask a question, please press star and then one. Questions on the line, sir.
Okay, maybe if I can fire one more away. Just to try and get a sense, what is the profile of the customer that gets the 12.9% interest rate?
Well, I can't give you a definite profile, but what we are looking at is it will probably be a client around about 35 plus age-wise. Probably a client with about an income of about 15,000 rand, and then a client that we understand is internal and external credit data exceptionally well, and where we're using our internal transactional data very well, because by analyzing your internal data on the transactional side, we can understand if he swipes his card, we can understand what he's buying and where he's buying, and you can use all those patterns into to determine the type of client we want. And then what is very important to do is look at his employer. It must be an employer which is large and stable. So if an employer is retrenching or downscaling, we won't take that risk. So we use, it's not one dimension. I think it's a lot of variables that we actually bring in into our scoring models.
Okay, thanks.
Maybe just one question from me here. Just on the fintech side, I mean, I think from an opportunity perspective, you know, you described, you know, and you just seem well ahead of the curve there. I mean, are there any potential threats that you see coming through from a fintech angle?
Yeah, maybe two comments on fintech. I think the whole blockchain is one of those interesting questions, but it's still early days. We need to understand it. We're part of two incubators that we evaluate fintech companies right through the world twice a year. Our people are actually in London now, first week in November. The one thing we've seen with fintech companies is they've got very innovative ideas, but the moment they need to handle volumes and security, then they struggle. And unfortunately, if you're in banking, those two things, especially in our game, volume and security is important. So we evaluate a lot of these fintech companies and look at it and trying to understand what it does. I think the threat is, I think, on the electronic payment side. Blockchain, not now, but I think one needs to ask yourself, 10 years from now, where blockchain is going to be and what it's going to do. So we're evaluating that. An interesting comment. About 2 months ago, there was a big article in one of the newspapers that said the ATM is 50 years old. And I placed an article when the ATM was launched, and the heading was, this is the end of the cashier. And today there's more cashiers than then. So one needs to be very careful when you look at technology and to say what it's going to do and then what is the need of the client.
Right, so it's been no further questions this side.
Okay, well then I think we can wrap the call up. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Much appreciated.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.